When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is it wrong that I enjoyed Sandoval going off on Sheena? Oh, I know that's bad. I know that's bad. I should not want that for anyone. But she's been like wanting to be his friend, maybe. That's just been throwing that out there. And I don't know. I just felt kind of healing. Oh, God, that's bad. That's bad. It's not good. That's not good of me. I'm a bad person. But it did. It just felt kind of good to have him be like, this didn't even happen to you. Although I don't fully agree with that. I don't, like, I'll get into that. But I watched this last little fight moment at least 4 times. I know, that's so bad. Emily, get it together. So a lot of stuff was happening this episode that I didn't really care about. So Katie and Schwartz meet for lunch, which is interesting. And they talk about Tori and whatever. I'm like, I don't care. Then Sheena and Brock get into their issues regarding her being the breadwinner. Did you see that they both did the George Lopez show, both Sheena and Brock? Which is, I think that's interesting because he's not even an actor, but like they both just get it. And Sheena probably wants them both to get it because then that's income coming into the household. I get that. But in the after show, Brock talks about how he wants to be in production. I mentioned before that Sheena talked about how he's got 2 reality shows, supposedly, in the works that he's going to be a producer on. So I don't really care about this issue that they have. I don't really care. But we do get a Britney sighting. Britney shows up to Sheena's and they talk about their issues. And Britney's like, yeah, that was happening with me and Jax. Because Britney talks about it in the after show. When they lost Vanderpump, Britney was actually making more money, most likely because of sponsorships and stuff like that, I'm assuming, right? That's got to be what it was, because who was using Jax? And remember Jax? Jax would post very misleading posts that made it seem like it was an ad, but it absolutely was not an ad. And I think he would even like tag the brand and the brand would like take their tag off. I don't know. It's just very embarrassing. Tom's new assistant, Craig, he's just jarring. He's just got such an energy. Like when it was Anne, I felt like Ariana was safe. But now that it's Craig, this guy with like tattoos and his aggressive tank top and coming in, the way he was like, and yeah, how long are you going to be? Because Tom also wanted to work out. I was, I don't know. And she clearly wasn't confused by that. She was like, oh, like 10 minutes. But I was like, don't talk to her. I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like Craig's energy. I miss Anne now. If I had to pick between Anne and Craig, it's Anne. Okay, period. There's a couple moments where we have FaceTimes with Ariana and her new guy. I'm worried about seeing him like on camera, mic'd up, ready to go. And I'm worried that I'm just really not going to like him. And I just feel very weird about it. It feels fast. But again, who am I to judge? I guess. Right. Tom Sandoval, he's meeting with realtors to discuss like where he wants to move, which is interesting because she's also suing him in real time, which must mean that Schwartz wasn't planning on staying there after all or whatever, wherever they land on that. Because like he's willing to meet with people, with realtors, look at properties, whatever. But she's now like, fucking move and sell and give me my money. So it's the Brax. It's the brunch that Jax and James are hosting together. And Lisa's talking to Guillermo, like, how the hell did this happen? And Guillermo's like, I had no idea. I have cat hair in my face. I have no idea. But then James comes to like check in and she's like, how did this whole thing go down with Jax doing this here? And James is like, I mean, I don't know. He's been reaching out to me and Guillermo a bunch. And Guillermo's like, fuck. I just said I had no idea how this happened. He's like, I don't fucking care. This will make money for the restaurant. Period. End of story. Sorry, Lisa. Jax comes in, but the Jax always does this. I just recapped something from season 7. I can't remember Girls Night. I recapped that for the Patreon. And Jax says the exact same thing there that he does right here. He walks in knowing that there's tension and is like, oh, hey, what's up? What's up? What? What's going on? Like, what? What's the problem? Is there an issue? Which is maddening. It's just like, you fucker, yes, you know there's an issue. You know? But he sits down and Lisa goes, you're on a podcast saying, oh, she's a prop. She's not needed. She's superfluous. Jax is like, what? Now, honestly, no joke. We all know that Jax didn't know that word. James looks it up and reads it. And Jax goes, oh, superfluous. Superfluous. Like, that is the one funny thing about Jax, is that he gets words wrong and is just genuinely dumb. And like, he's like, that's me. That's who I am. That's like, what are the only good things? Not good. Good isn't the word. Funny? It's a thing about Jax. How about that? Jax goes, look, you wrote me off. You wrote me and Brittany off completely. We lost the show and that was it. And she's like, oh, you're such a hypocrite. And I actually don't hate that Brittany and Jax are calling out Vanderpump for this, because she does always act like some sort of mother figure to them. And then she makes them film scenes where they have to like explain things to her. And that always irritated me, because I'm like, bitch, you know, you wouldn't give a shit about these people. Like, when you watch the first season of Vanderpump Rules, Stassi goes to Mexico for her birthday and Lisa upgrades them. And you know that is the one and only time that's ever happened before. They've gone on many trips and Lisa didn't give a fuck. But now that they're filming, she's taking on this role of the mother figure. And so I do like that they're calling out that she's really not in real life. If there's no show, you're not going to hear from her, period. James is like, okay, I'm going to go DJ. Bye. Jax goes over to the girls, though. And Katie says it right. She goes, look, with Jax, if someone has to tell you over and over again that they've changed, that they're a better person, whatever, then they're not, which is true. Because he's like, I'm a good husband. I'm a good dad. I'm better. I'm changed. No one defines themselves more than Jax Taylor while they're doing the opposite of what they're saying about themselves. You know what I mean? I have to stop saying, you know what I mean? Oh my God, Emily, stop. I say it too much. It's annoying. Okay, but anyway, Jax opens with, I'm not one to gossip. And they're all like, Jax, you literally are the biggest gossip. Even Brittany doesn't tell you shit because she knows you will tell it. But he's like, I'm not one to gossip, but do you know that Schwartz is thinking of moving into your place? And okay, we see the flashback of Schwartz saying to Jax that he might move in with Sandoval. And like, you know, any hope I had for Schwartz is gone, because I thought he was going to be the smart one here when Sandoval asked him and was like, no, that's a horrible idea. I thought, good, Schwartz, good for you. But now I'm like, okay, so is this like a bit? Because when he tells Jax, he's like, well, you know, we already work together and we're doing a bar together. I'm like, so? A lot of people work together and they don't live in the house. Okay, odd. Very, very odd. James is hosting a little after party, though, at his place. So after the brunch, everyone's invited back to his house, which, by the way, from West Hollywood to Burbank is no short trek. It is quite a lengthy drive for a second location, you know? See, you know? God, Emily. So they all get back to James's house, and the girls all like have a moment with James about Allie, how she wants to go to the wedding and how the whole hippie thing and blah, blah, blah. And he has just no emotional control yet. So he starts crying and gets frustrated. And Ariana's like, it's okay, buddy. You'll be okay. But then, of course, Lala gets like offended because James talks about how was it for you getting childcare and figuring out a nanny for your kid? And Lala's like, don't you dare compare you getting a sitter for your dog to my kid. I'm like, all right, just sit one out. Okay. James and Schwartz both warn Katie. They're like, have you talked to Jax? Jax is upset with you. And here's what fucking Schwartz does. Knowing Jax is mad and drunk, by the way, Jax announced to everybody that he doesn't have to worry about the kid or whatever, and he's going to get drunk. He goes, hey, Jax, come talk to Katie. And obviously, it's going to turn bad. But then Schwartz just goes over in the background. And he's like, oh, no, watching like, oh, gosh. Oh, I didn't expect this to happen. But James is a good one because James was like, yeah, Jax is mad. But then James stands next to Katie when this is going down because Jax is totally getting like all aggressive. James is like, why are you so angry? And he's like, I'm not mad. It feels like it was extremely edited. I was pulling like little still frames for some content and noticed that James is like one second he's inside, the next second he's right next to Katie, the next second he's next to Allie, then he's back next to Katie. So they really chopped this scene up because it seemed very short. And I have a feeling it was not that short. And I think that because for some reason they crammed all the interesting stuff towards the end of the episode. I'm not kidding. Like, there were so many unnecessary scenes that were just like, okay, we didn't need that as a scene. And so at the very end, they just crammed it in there. Whether or not they were, like, protecting Jax, I don't know. But it was very heavily edited. Maybe it was repetitive. I don't know. But Katie's got this crazy Jax coming at her. And so I saw someone get mad that Katie, when Jax said, why won't you talk to Brittany? And Katie said, because I don't like you. I saw someone get mad about that in the comments. They were like, I don't like that Katie said that. And I was like, I don't really think she was thinking all that straight. I think it was a little overwhelming and jarring. And she had this guy yelling at her. I don't really think she thought it through that much. It was a lot of back and forth that we didn't really get to see. And he's like, well, I don't like you either. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Okay, but here's something that I need to ask you guys. Did we miss a scene? Because Schwartz, when he walked into Sir with the other Tom, he said, hi, Ariana. And she just barely looked up. It's like, hi. But then in this moment, he at this after party at James's, he pulls Ariana aside and he makes some little joke, like, now that we're fine. And she's like, oh, yeah. And she seems fine with him. So did we miss a moment, or was she just kind of being standoffish because she was seeing Tom Sandoval walk in too? I don't know. I got confused. Like, when did you guys get cool? Did I miss something? I thought we didn't like Schwartz still. What's happening here? But anyway, Schwartz is telling Ariana that he doesn't make it clear. Shocker, actually. He doesn't make it clear that he is going to move in. He goes, would you hate me if I did move in there? Which Ariana goes, no. She was so sweet about it. But I couldn't tell because he said he couldn't afford it. So I don't really know exactly where it lands, but you know what? It's Schwartz, so no wonder, right? Okay, weird moment. When Sandoval comes in, Hippie like greets him or whatever, and he goes, if I ever talk to your mom again, I'll tell her you said hi. What? No, thank you. Don't, what are you talking about, dude? You're never going to talk to her again, by the way. But no, don't tell her her dog says hi. That's weird. As we know, Mother's Day is fast approaching. And if you're looking for a gift for mom, might I suggest L'Olivie, Jennifer Aniston's hair care line? Not only is it vegan and cruelty-free, but all the products are designed to restore and protect our hair. Both the in-shower routine and post-shower routine feature products that are meant to actually repair the look of damage, which I got a lot of, but they also shield your locks from future harm, like the Glossing Detangler. I always use the Glossing Detangler post-shower. Also, the restorative shampoo and conditioner. And this is maybe not important to you, but it's very important to me. The signature scent of this product, it's like citrusy, herbal, and woody. And it's like a spa. And honestly, if you got these products for mama, it would be like sending her to a spa. But even better, because she could have the lingering scent of Jennifer Aniston approved hair at all times. You know what I mean? And if you're thinking, well, I don't have hair that looks like Jennifer Aniston. My hair is totally different. Because L'Olivie has taken the time to formulate with naturally derived plant-based ingredients, and then they tested on a variety of heads. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code SHESPEAKS15 at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code SHESPEAKS15. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Your hair will thank you. It is no secret that I love being in bed. I do everything from the bed. I record from the bed. I work from the bed. So I think if anybody knows a thing or two about good bedding, it's me. Cozy Earth sheets are life-changing. They're temperature regulating, which for someone who runs hot, that's incredible. The softness is unparalleled. It's the materials they use, the weaving, also their sleepwear, same vibes. I don't know if it's intended to be temperature regulating, but sometimes it feels like that. But the softness and the weaving does something to the way it fits. So even though it's for sleep, I oftentimes wear these clothes out and about because they're flattering, you know, and they're so soft I never want to take them off. Cozy Earth products are almost like a part of my self-care routine. And they would make a great gift for Mother's Day, whether it be your mom or a friend who's a new mom. Because sleep, new moms covet that sleep, honey. And all Cozy Earth products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. That's kind of amazing. The best part is Cozy Earth offers our listeners 35% off when you use code SHESPEAKS at checkout. So just go to CozyEarth.com, shop around, and at checkout, use code SHESPEAKS to get 35% off. I've used this code so many times, it's embarrassing. So again, that is promo code SHESPEAKS for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. The luxury she deserves. But she goes over to Brock. It's now like becoming nighttime. And she goes, I want to go home. I want to put Summer to bed. And Brock is not having it. And he's not just a little vocal about this. He is literally yelling at her from the pool and she's across the way. Like he's like, I have the issue with the fact that you won't let someone else take care of our kid and we can have fun or whatever. It's so like everyone's paying attention. Schwartz and Ariana are like, whoa, what's happening? Ariana gets up to then go check on Sheena, but then Tom and Kyle stand next to her. So she's like, okay, never mind, not going to do that. But Kyle is having Sheena perform at, I guess he's launching some whiskey and that's what the big San Francisco trip is. And he's having Sheena perform two songs. She's like performing two songs, right? Yes. She was like just nearly in tears with Brock. She's like, if I want to get home and put her to bed, then I want to do that. And then seconds later, she's like, okay, yeah. So we're going to prepare. I'm going to do two songs. And then she thinks she's being cute. But like, honestly, you tried it. You tried to be too cute about this. And that's not the way to go. She takes a little sip of her drink and goes, so to Tom, have you listened to the song yet? Like this can be funny. And I'm like, oh, you girl, that's bad move. Don't taunt him with this because you're opening up. I would just not even mention it. Don't even ask him. So she asked for this a little bit, honestly. He goes, it's just been a lot from you specifically. And she goes, that I can understand. And she says, I was coming at that from what you two did to Ariana. And it fucked me up in more ways than one. The friendship, the restraining order. And yeah, did I decide to, if you want to call it, capitalize on it? Okay, girl. Okay. But Tom then goes, it was just like you were 100 times more reactive than even Ariana. And then Sheena goes, that's because all you had to do at the reunion. And he goes, all you had to do was not do that. She goes, all you had to do was keep your mouth shut. And Tom goes, Sheena, I need you to understand something. You were not involved in this. You did not get cheated on. She did not fuck Brock. Like, you know what I mean? See, he says, you know what I mean? I got to stop saying it. And then Sheena, so slowly, she goes, she filed a motherfucking restraining order. And then Tom goes, but why? I'm like, uh-oh. I thought maybe they cut it, but I figured he was going to say, because you fucking punched her or something, but they might have cut it. He goes, why are you acting like the biggest victim in this whole scenario? You know, it's... It's a shame when Tom finally aligns a little bit with the fans, because that's what a lot of people have been saying. So it was really hard for me to be like, Tom, you're so out of line. Because I was like, well, okay. And then now Brock has joined. Now, meanwhile, Lala, Ariana, and Katie, they're like off to the side, just kind of on standby, sort of. But Tom goes, what I'm trying to say, Sheena, what you have done, it's like if I were to step on Kyle's shoes and then he burns my house down. It's a little, I didn't see everything that Sheena did by any means. I'm sure I missed a podcast episode. I'm sure I missed many things that she did because Tom was clearly consuming every little thing that she put out. From what I saw, she did a few episodes, yeah, but like that's all that people were talking about in general, honestly. I just didn't clock it. Yes, was it excessive? Yes. And Sheena's admitting she capitalized on it. But you didn't just do a little thing. You also then treated Sheena like shit too. That's why I'm going to get, as much as I enjoyed watching it, like, Tom, something did happen to her. She lost a friend in the process. She lost two friends in the process. So you kind of can't pull this card. You kind of can't pull this card with like, you had nothing even happened to you, right? Brock reminds him that you wrote a song, the Schwartzy's mom song. To be fair, that song was written, I think, before the affair, wasn't it? Or was it during? Was he performing that whilst the affair was ongoing? I can't remember. I can't remember the timeline anymore from that. Tom's like, that's not even remotely close. It's kind of true, but kind of. But honestly, she wrote a little song about it. You know, like, Tom, she's not capitalizing on anything. I can't even really understand the damn song. I don't really, the lyrics are the lyrics, you know, like it's a Sheena song, dude. Tom goes, you guys are acting more entitled to talk about events in my life than me. You inserted yourself into the situation. And Sheena goes, it's called friendship. But that's kind of what I'm saying. It's true though, Tom, like they're not inserting themselves into something that you were in their lives, you know? Lala, maybe you could say that about Lala, because she definitely wasn't really affected in that way. But Sheena and Brock were. Then Sheena goes for it, and she goes to the whole like, I have thoughts about Brock and Lala, and I have all these whatever fucked up thoughts because of what you did. All I could focus on is that James, for some reason, looks like a little kid who's getting ready to like go to swim practice or like hang out with his friends and swim in a pool, because there's James in the middle with his little swim shorts and a t-shirt and it's poofy hair, and it just cracks me up. He's like, oh yeah, I have that issue too. Like, well, James, where are you going? And he's just kind of like watching it back and forth with his poofy hair. I cannot stop laughing at it for some reason. He just looks so silly. And he's like, oh yeah, me too, I got that problem, yeah, for sure. I mean, she you did that. She gives a dramatic performance, absolutely dramatic performance. But then she's like, I want to go put my kid down. And Tom goes, God, dude, you've been the other woman in a fucking relationship. And you hear Lala go, hell no. Also, Ariana's face is like, oh my God, like, what the fuck? I can't believe you. That's the shit that like in uneducated people say at this point. Yes, I'm sure someone is going to be like, well, it's true. Yeah, okay, it is true. But by this point, although she did kiss Schwartz. I'm just kidding. There's no comparing. There is no comparing at all. Also, what are you mad at exactly, Tom? You're mad that she made a song. Okay, that's not that big of a deal anymore. Let her make a damn song. But to then be like, you're making this huge deal out of it. It's just a couple lyrics in a song. Okay, bro? It really is. That's all it is. But Sheena whips around, and I thought she was going to hit him, and I was here for it. But obviously that would have been bad because she just got done with the whole restraining order debacle. So actually, never mind. That would have been a bad idea. Don't do that. But I love, so she yells at him, she screams at him. And then as she's walking back out, she goes, Allie, sorry for yelling in your house. But guess who goes and walks out and comforts Sheena? Ariana. It's almost like Ariana seems to understand that Sheena is absolutely in a lot of pain from all of this and is empathetic and compassionate and cares about that. That's funny. It's funny that Sheena might try to make it seem like she didn't care about that at all. Because, like, from the way she hugged her and the way she comforted her, it was like someone who knows. She, you know, knows it. So this is all about you now, Sheena. Ariana's not in there like, see, what did I tell you? She's just comforting you. So Brock, meanwhile, is in there and he's like, you bring up the past? Like, she's a grown woman now. And Tom goes, isn't what I did from like 6 months ago? Aren't we trying to move on from that? Yeah, that's the same. That's the same. Something when she was 21, it was 2006. Okay, something from 2006. Yeah, that's the same as 6 months ago. Totally. But not even gaslighting. That's gaslighting. That's what that is. When is the damn finale? Like, just get to it already. It's the finale next week. Cause like, I'm getting a little bored. At the after show, the only thing that I wrote down that I seemed to kind of care about was Brittany did reach out to Katie. Katie does have this habit of saying that people don't reach out to her, yet they're like, I sent you a text when you were moving. Here's an example. She's like, I sent you a text when you were moving and you said you didn't need help. She's like, yeah, but like, okay. It's like, okay, but that's reaching out. You know, I would clock it as that. Like if I... In Brittany's case, she didn't understand exactly what the rift was. And I think Katie knew that. And so if Brittany is reaching out to say, hey, if you need help moving, I'm here to help or whatever, that's her reaching out, just blanketed reaching out. She's just reaching out, period. Like, just trying to, you know. Then she brings up that they did that watch along thing, the Jackson Brittany, like watch along, whatever. And that Brittany said something like, oh, you know, I didn't realize Katie was going through all of this. I actually feel really bad because we weren't talking at that point and whatever. Katie goes, well, she could have reached out, but she didn't reach out even then. So, you know, like what's the point? And so I guess. But if I've texted someone, like if someone cut me out of their life because of something I did, like the wedding thing, and then I reach out to them, send them a text and they don't respond, I would assume they don't want to hear from me maybe. So as much as I don't like to side with Brittany ever over Queen Katie, I can see that that is maybe a little bit of a barrier that Katie puts up. If she just doesn't want to forgive Brittany, and if it honestly has to do with Jax, I don't blame her because that probably is really hard. Putting past, because the way Jax has come for Katie throughout the years, like that's probably not easy to let go of. And maybe and she does say that's a big factor in it. So maybe that's it. But like, you know, whatever. That's fine. That's all I wrote down about that. Okay. But regarding Sheena or Tom saying the whole thing about Sheena being the other woman before, Sheena's trying to claim that when she was dating Eddie, she takes it too far. She's like, I didn't know he was married. I was 21. I didn't know about IMDb. I didn't Google people. And I find that very hard to believe. I find it impossible to believe, actually, that Sheena didn't know what IMDb was ever at any point in her life. Sheena's wanted to be a pop star and like whatever, or was that just a new thing for the show? Whatever. She had clear dreams of like stardom. Wasn't she an actress? Right? So you knew what IMDb was when you came to LA. By that point, you knew what IMDb was. She's like, you take it a little too far. I say this about Meghan Markle. Because if, in case you guys don't know, I went to high school with Meghan Markle. And maybe one day I'll give like some tea on it. There's really nothing to it. We were also in high school. So like, what does it even? But when Meghan Markle talks about how she knew nothing about the royal family, like nothing at all, she takes it too far. She basically makes it seem like she'd never even heard of Princess Diana. And you're like, well... And that's sort of what I think Sheena did with this IMDb thing. I don't even care at this point if she knew Eddie was married. It doesn't matter because she has been paying the price for it. I don't care. Tom knows that is the one thing that Sheena hates. It's like the biggest button he could have pushed. And of course he pushed it on her, right? But Tom, of course, is like, she's acting like I murdered someone. That needs to be his fucking tagline. Honestly, he always says that, acting like I'm a serial killer, acting like I murdered someone. It's like, okay, what other things can people do that allow the other person to be mad at them or not like them? Like, is it? It's not just they do nothing wrong or they murder someone and there's nothing in between that allows you to be like, I'm mad at you. Oh, it's not like I murdered someone. Okay, that's not the only thing that someone can do for me to be mad at them for, okay? I hate that he says it over and over. It's like, that's very gaslighty. It's annoying. That was it. That was the only shit that I really wanted to talk about from the after show. I didn't find it to be that interesting, to be honest. When it comes to fashion, I am rather challenged. It's not my strong suit. That's why brands like Jenni Kayne are kind of perfect for me, because they're timeless, they're minimalist, they're effortless, but they have that California vibe too. And everything's made with such intention at Jenni Kayne. So you can mix and match pieces and you'll know that you'll still look put together. I just recently bought the oversized half zip. The only reason I'm not wearing it right now is because it's dirty. It is like, I never want to take it off. This would actually be a great Mother's Day gift. Any of the sweaters, any of the Jenni Kayne sweaters, their sweaters are quintessential for any season. And this season especially, I can't get enough of their cotton collection. They've got the new cotton Foster sweater. It's also officially sundress season. And this year I am upping my game with two perfectly effortless silhouettes. Catch me styling the day dress every single day. I'm equally obsessed with the Callan dress. It's a classic vest dress that feels very timeless. We love timeless. Don't forget they have shoes too. Like the Eve sandal is everything you could want in a classic spring shoe. It pairs well with any outfit. And don't forget the home essentials. They've got pillows, they've got throws, they've got amazing candles, and they have a rewards program where you can earn up to 10% back with every purchase. And joining is completely free. Find the perfect Mother's Day gift or curate your new spring uniform at JenniKayne.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code SHESPEAKS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JenniKayne.com. Promo code SHESPEAKS. Get yourself and the women in your life the best gift of all. Jenni Kayne. Okay, so Luke talks to Kristen about wanting to have more of his life here, which we've all been kind of like wondering, like, or at least I was, you know, this guy's made it very clear he does not like Los Angeles and misses home. And so what is she going to do to like help that? She doesn't even seem interested when this man's talking. He's saying he wants to maybe get some more stuff of his or go fishing. And she's like, what were you saying? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Oh, great. So that empath shit was bullshit. All right, cool. Jasmine, for some reason, meets up with Jax to try to tell him that Brittany like needs some more lovin' or whatever. And I don't know if this was just an excuse to get these two to film together or what, but it was very confusing. Just why? But okay, fine, I guess. That's great. But Jax can't wait to gossip about Michelle. Says he'd heard that she's been, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. I'm like, you brought it up, dude. But she's been texting guys. And he also tells Jasmine that Jesse said he would be surprised if his marriage lasted 2 months. So that's very important, because that's what he says to her. And Kristen takes it and spins it all kinds of crazy. It's just a cute scene, honestly, but it was chaos. Jesse and Jason go to Nia and Danny's place because she needs help like setting up a crib, but also like removing another crib. And just thought, these jackasses are not the ones I'd ever have do this. So I guess it was just for the sake of filming. Jesse, he's useless. But Jesse says if you need advice on wine, fashion, and travel, I got you. I said, fashion. After the jacket, you know, you're never going to live that jacket down, sir. You really aren't. But the part that was interesting is that Jesse talks about how some therapist suggested he try shrooms and ayahuasca. And I'm like, no. There was a phase I worked at a salon for a period of time, and it makes sense that there was a phase where a bunch of people at the salon were doing ayahuasca, all separate of each other. But everyone would come back from the ayahuasca experience, and I didn't notice it until months had passed and I was able to make this analysis, but everyone would come back and be like, oh my God, I had these epiphanies. And one person said, I had this epiphany that I should stay with my husband. I'm like, okay. And the stuff she'd been telling me about her husband, I was like, okay, fine. And then like 2 months later, they were divorced or divorcing. Someone else heard that they were going to like have some sort of romance with someone or whatever. And so then when they started coincidentally dating this person, this new person, they were like, this is it. The ayahuasca told me. And then they broke up not too long after that. But like the ayahuasca trips, I'm sure some people have had incredible epiphanies, but like to me, they do not seem worth it. You know, you can throw up the whole time, but like you see all this stuff and you experience all this stuff. And someone like Jesse, now it does seem like he really wants to change, but Jesse, ooh, I don't know if I want to add like psychedelic epiphanies to Jesse's personality, you know? Brittany goes with Jax to meet the business partners. Mind you, Jax drives the golf cart there. Now, from their house to Jax's, that's an annoying, whoever gets stuck behind them is like, kill me. Like, how fast can those things even go? I mean, I guess they can go to, can they go to like 40 miles an hour? Because on like surface streets and stuff. But I guess if, seriously, that just sounds like a nightmare. Especially when it's hot. It's hot. Get in an air-conditioned car. But Brittany has been totally left out of the whole process. And so she's walking in like blind. And after she's done, they talk to the partners and stuff. And she goes and sits outside with Jax to talk. And she's like, are you always that quiet when you're around them? And he's like, yeah, he just sits there and like lets them. It's just, he's slapping his name on it. That's it. He is just slapping his name on it. And that is the end of it. He doesn't give a shit about anything else. He's worried about, he hasn't put any money into it. He's worried about them probably being upset. It's very bizarre that he doesn't even care about the place. He's like, just slap some stuff on the walls and put this down. And there you go. You have a bar. You have some TVs in there, whatever. It's like, yeah, but your name's on it. Don't you want to care a little bit? And also he bragged at the top of the season for the Valley. He was like, yeah, Brittany's super involved because I know better. I don't want to lose my marriage because of this, like some other jackasses I know, all that kind of thing. But like, you're not even doing anything for the bar. The reason you're claiming you're including her, but they're like, oh yeah, Brittany, we don't care. We're going to do whatever we want. Jax is, of course, stressed out though. He's always stressed out. Jax is in perma stressed out mode. He's partnering with a hair loss company though. And everyone's like, are you even bald? Are you even losing your hair? But you know what? Get your money. Who cares? He has this like launch party for it. And so at the party, Jasmine pulls Janet aside, and I guess just to have a moment, like have a scene. But she starts the conversation by saying to Janet that Jax is so funny, and actually, like the way his mind works, it's like it's very interesting. Like I see why you guys like, yeah. I said what? There has to be some positive sides of Jax. I mean, he's got all these friends, right? Like there has to be some good sides. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. None of these people would be his friend this much, right? So, sure. But Janet, because Janet can sense that Jax said something, and Jasmine's like, I don't really want to talk about everything we talked about. So Janet's like, what did he tell you? I'm staying with the Janet's a little shady, snaky, kind of sneaky one. The way she was just like, she wanted to get the tea. And then she's like, should we ask Brittany? No. Jasmine just told you she had lunch with Jax and doesn't want to tell you everything about the conversation. And you're like, should we ask Brittany? Because I need to know. And Michelle, you even said Michelle doesn't even know, she should know, but you want to know first. Should we ask Brittany? I don't trust you, Janet. I really don't. So there's some Burning Man market pop-up thing at this launch party. And there's this blonde hottie in like a bikini, basically. And Jesse and Jax are not even hiding their attraction to her. Jesse is like, are you going to Burning Man? And then they start trying on hats and robes and stuff. And Jax throws the hat that he's wearing on Mama, and Jesse's dancing with her, and Michelle's like, have him, because she hates him. You know, she hates him. But anyway, the main group that needs to get ready to go to dinner. But Jesse stays behind to fucking talk to the Burning Man pop-up chick. Like, what are you doing? And Michelle walks up and he's talking about Burning Man, whatever. And Michelle goes, are you going to Burning Man? And he pauses and says, no. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe you. Are you going? Because is this the type of shit he would do, Michelle? Where he would just tell you out of nowhere, like, I'm going to Burning Man? Because I'm starting to think, that's why she even asked it. She didn't ask it like, this is a crazy question. She asked it like, this is a possibility that you would not tell me you're going to fucking Burning Man and then go to Burning Man. Okay. At dinner, Jesse's being super quiet. And everyone, like, Michelle's like, what's wrong? And he's like, what no one knows is an hour before this or whenever it was, I had an hour-long session with Scott and realized that my marriage is over and that Michelle might be leaving me. So what better way to save a marriage? Well, I guess it's done at this point. But he was just like trying to save face and go to this dinner and act like everything was fine. He was doing just fine, but I guess maybe he wasn't sitting next to Michelle. And so now he's being aggressively quiet. And Jax at one point asks Michelle, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing, it's Jesse. And then Jesse gets back from the restroom and she goes, everyone wants to know what the hell is wrong with you and to wake up. They didn't actually say that. They didn't say that part. You're paraphrasing. You're adding a little spin on it. You know, they didn't say it like that. But that's okay. That's okay. Jesse responds, though, by going, why don't you propose something that will actually keep me awake? And Brittany's like, don't be like that. And Kristen's all, how rude are you? Ugh. And then Jax goes, man, we were having a great time downstairs trying on hats. I thought something happened. Jesse slams his hand down on the table and Jax just like shuts up. He like looks away. He's like, which is so weird to me. It's like even I would think that'd be an act of aggression towards Jax where he'd be like, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Puff up. But instead he's like, nope. And then, ew, Jesse's so gross when he goes, here we go again, baby. Why did you slam your fucking hand down? Was there a reason? Like, what was that for? I don't understand. And Kristen immediately turns to Luke and goes, I'm ready to go. She's over at the end. She's like, you're a father. You're a husband. Like, you're a grown man. This is not cute. You're a grown man. And then Jesse's like, I'm not being aggressive. Ooh, fuck you, Jesse. Then Kristen and Luke, though, have a moment because she's like, he's such a douchebag. His own wife calls him a douchebag. Can you imagine if I called you that? And Luke's like, well, you have. And she's like, what are you talking about? No, I haven't. And he's like, I'm just saying the facts. Yes, you have. And I then got a glimpse into the fact that even though Kristen tries to pitch this like they have this super healthy, amazing relationship, she absolutely has said shit in the heat of the moment and they've had toxic fights. And you know what? Maybe Jax is right to fucking worry about her trying to have a kid with this guy. Maybe that's not incorrect. But Kristen is now voicing that she wants to leave. And Michelle's like, it's not even about you. And Kristen goes, I don't care. It's abusive. And everyone's like, okay, Kristen. Jasmine is like, it's like she has all the like buzzwords that she wants, the problematic words that she has to get in there, like racist, abusive, which is very Karen behavior from Kristen, I must say. There's so much chaos at this thing because they're all drunk. They've all been doing like shots of tequila. And Zach is wasted. He's like, Kristen. The craziest faces when he does it. Danny has his hand up and Nia's like, please put your hand down. Put your hand down. He's like, I want to comment. Also drunk. She's like, you're being annoying. He's like, no, I'm not. Then Jesse goes, I have a conversation. Has anyone been to Burning Man? Does anyone want to go? It seems salty like my balls. That had to have been edited. I'm like, what seems salty like your balls? Burning Man? But then Michelle is like, stop talking. Just stop talking. And Jesse sits back and he gets this look of such defiance. This is what he looks like when he's drunk. The bad drunk is definitely, Jesse looks, woo. He goes, Well, I didn't want to talk, and you told me to start talking, and you can't tell me to just stop talking. And then she goes, fine, keep talking. I'm like, ooh, that's dark, dark. Jasmine tries to change the subject, and she goes, Jax, I want to know about this investor, the bald one. But Jax is like, I don't want to talk about that anymore. I'm over it. Which I would love to. What the fuck are you guys talking about? We didn't even get that. This, again, very, very edited. So what are we, what's happening? I would like to know. Jesse gets up. Kristen has already walked outside. She's like, she said to Luke, I'm going to take a minute. So she had walked outside, and Jesse is now there. And what you hear is Kristen telling a producer, what do you mean, come on? He's acting like a fucking psycho. The producer goes to say, but you, can I just tell you? And I feel like the producer is going to be like, you're fucking crazy also, just so we're clear. But Kristen's like, he's banging on the table again? This is turning into trash. He's a really horrific human. But I don't want to out their whole fucking marriage and everything I know about it. Let me just say this, okay. When you keep saying that I'm holding on to your secret. When you keep saying that in front of everybody on TV, you're not holding on to a secret. You're basically telling the secret. I didn't need her details. I was like, so she's cheating on him or she has a boyfriend. Like I could, because when you say, Michelle, I've been protecting you. And then I know things that I'm protecting her from. And then I won't say what I know about their marriage. We figured it out. You've told us. You've already fucking told us. Okay, Kristen. So come on already. But then Jesse goes, you bring out any skeletons that I don't already know about my wife, I will fucking bury you. And Kristen goes, I would never, ever do that to you and your family. You're doing it. I would never do that to you or your family, as I'm basically doing that. And then he's like, you're so fucking irrelevant or some shit like that. And you hear her go, walk the fuck away right now. Walk the fuck away, which actually is a classic Kristen line. She was saying that to Natalie. She does that a lot. Walk the fuck away right now. Walk away. Walk away. She said that to James when at the Sheena's wedding. Luke goes outside and sees what's happening, and he uses his finger to get Jesse away from Kristen. But Michelle goes into don't touch my husband mode. And Jesse is like a little chihuahua. He's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to fucking do? And then, but Kristen's to Michelle like, do you know what he did to me? You weren't there. And Michelle goes, okay, what did he do now? What are you going to add to my life now? Here's the deal. I don't love you either in this moment, Michelle. I don't like how once again you're not having an issue with the way your husband's talking to a woman. It's like, I know it's Kristen, but she's not trying to keep Jesse from like going after Luke. Let me just keep going through this. And Kristen goes, I'm protecting you. I'm the one protecting you. And Michelle gets in her face and she's like, stop with the fucking protecting. And Kristen goes, fine. You don't want me to protect you? Okay, fine. No, Kristen, you haven't been protecting her. So now I guess I'm not protecting you anymore. You've absolutely not been protecting her. Just so we're clear. But then Jesse's telling Luke, she's saying she could bury me with her secrets about my family. You're the one who says bury. She's not technically saying that. Then Jesse directly to Kristen goes, if you get involved in my family, I will bury you. So I'm like, okay, that's coming from you, buddy. Luke is trying to get Kristen out of there, but Kristen's like, you don't know what your husband is saying about behind your back. And okay. Oh, Michelle's nipple is out too, by the way, which is funny. They have to like pixelate it. But that this next part is just embarrassing. She's like, your husband said he's going to divorce you in 2 months. It's just not necessarily the flex that you think it is. Like, it's just because at this point, Michelle's like tapped out. But this, I guess that is what's weird about it. It's Michelle's getting all mad about like, you're done with this marriage too. But Kristen's being wild. And then Jesse's like, I didn't fucking say that. Who fucking said I said that? Who fucking said I said that? He looks crazed. And then he goes to Luke, excuse me, he goes, you better get her in check because I swear to God. And Luke goes, or what? You're going to lay your hands on her? Because exactly, like, or what are you going to do, dude? What are you going to fucking do? But now Brittany's in the hallway and Zach is joined too. And he's like, to Jesse, he goes, stop, stop, trying to get him to walk away. And then Luke yells, hold on. Luke yells, your problem was with your wife. Talk to your wife. Michelle's like, shut the fuck up. Talk to your wife. But Jesse then storms back and Zach tries to stop him, but just flails and then like holds himself up. And he's like, oh. But it looks like Jesse is like pulling Brittany down or something. It's weird because she's right there and she's trying to get him away, but it looks like, but then Zach's like, don't you fucking hit Brittany. And Jesse's like, I wasn't, I swear to God, no, she just got in the way. She's like, I'm fine, just want everyone to calm down. Oh my God. Then Michelle's like, everyone get back in here now, I have to say something. Get back in here. I don't like her energy. I don't like it. Okay, I don't, period, done. But Kristen and Luke, they leave. Kristen's interview, she goes, this totally sucks. I'm still being a good friend to Michelle and I'm still holding all of her secrets. You're not at all. They're right by the elevators. They're getting ready to go. And Luke goes, they're both trash. Neither of them are all in by any means. And Kristen goes, because she had a fucking boyfriend for a year. There, we all said it. We finally all said it. Kristen, you're the only one who said it. You're the only fucking one who said it. Now she's protecting him, not me. And then Kristen says a year ago when they weren't doing well, she had a whole guy that she was hanging out with and she didn't care because Jesse's a piece of shit. So she thought, good, do that. But when Kristen has the great line, she's like, I didn't come back here for this. I'd rather be on Vanderpump Rules, which I don't know why that's so fun to hear. It's so fun to hear her say that on The Valley. It'll never get old. Okay, what happened here? We have Janet and Allie were on Watch What Happens Live, but I didn't think anything that they said was all that interesting. And I didn't listen to Sheena or Lala's podcast. But Lala did do, this is just to wrap up this episode, sorry. I'm like, what else did I miss? Lala did do, I think, an Amazon Live, I think, where she is, regarding the feedback that she's been getting or something, she's like crying a lot. And I don't know if she was crying because the comments were so mean or if she was crying because she's like, I'm pregnant and I guess she's doing damage control. Cause I bet a lot of people were like, you don't read the fucking comments, but like you want us to watch this show and you want us to interact with you. I think she must've been getting that kind of feedback. So she said something like, I don't want you guys to think that I don't appreciate you watching the show and viewing the show and keeping, you know, the ratings up, but I can't right now with this pregnancy, I just have to protect myself. I honestly don't think that she has any, she doesn't owe us going on social media. I really don't like, I kind of sometimes prefer they don't. I prefer they just do it on the show. But the way she kind of was like, I don't fucking care what people say, she kind of got a little big for her, typical, a little big and bad on her podcast, talking about how she doesn't fucking care. I don't read what anyone has to say. I'm in and I'm out and that's it. It just seemed very ungrateful. Like, well, bitch, you're a public figure. Okay, so she was crying a lot, and I did not feel bad for her. I find that she does weaponize her tears often. She cries a lot. So I didn't feel bad, and I couldn't tell if she was sad because of something specific people were saying or if it was just an emotional time because she's pregnant. But yeah, that's that, I guess. Thank you, Lala. I don't know. Anywho, so that's it for this episode. Love you guys, mean it, and I will see you next time. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud 10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and/or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm. Or something. You could also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.